Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Please jot down my website, crosstheborder.org. Not easy to forget. Crosstheborder.org. And would like to hear from you. Take advantage of the resources and the articles there. Spread them around. Post them on your Facebook. You know, just get the message out to all of your Bible-believing and loving friends, people who love the Word of our Almighty God. Yes, they should be able to really enjoy my website, because that's what it is all about, biblical studies. You don't have to agree, and it's especially what I find that I don't agree on, or what may go afar of what I have accepted, that makes me study His Word more to make sure that I'm not missing out on something, or to strengthen the position that I already have. It's always a growing experience to be challenged in the beliefs that we hold, especially if the foundation for those beliefs, if we want it to be the Word of God, if we believe that it is His Word and it's a sure Word. Crosstheborder.org. And I would like to hear from you. Visit the Contact Me page there and contact me. You know, leave a message on that page or email me or sign up for the blog. In the upper right-hand column, you'll find a link there to sign up for the blog. And when I write an occasional article, you'll get an email to that. I have time perhaps to write one or two articles a month, in a good month. And I try to make them very interesting. I don't want to just fill people with frivolous stuff. I want to post things that will really challenge people to study His Word more. Biblical studies, crosstheborder.org. That's what you'll find there. Job, we're in the middle of Job chapter 31, and I could spend a lot more time commenting, but the things that Job is writing are so plain. Some of the things really, you know, strike at the heart of our lives as where I'm at right now. Job writes this. Job is upholding himself. This is his position. He's standing in the righteousness of his life. And he stands by faith, of course, because he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's the greatest, you know, the word of testimony in that short space. And none of his friends even seem to hit or strike upon it. But, you know, such beautiful words of faith. I know that my Redeemer liveth. So we know that our Redeemer, the Messiah, the blood that covers our sins, is the very foundation of Job's stand. As a matter of fact, it's that blood that gives him the power to stand in the Spirit by faith. And, you know, of course, this is, you know, one of the oldest books in the Bible. So we know that Job, this predates the children of Israel going into the wilderness, and we get that from the genealogy that Job's place in the genealogy that we get at the beginning of the book, that this does predate the children of Israel. And like I said, some very sharp points that seem to touch our very lives. And here, Job says, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me. And this really, you know, does minister to me. And I stand here with Job because there are those that hate me. I mean, with such a hatred that they devoted their lives, it seems, to my destruction. And, you know, short of everything, they do anything and everything that they think they can get away with. And sometimes they cross the line, too, and they may not get away with it. But Job here writes, if I have rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. Now, You know, I take no joy. My desire, my prayer for those that hate me is one, that they would repent and find eternal life in the Messiah. You know, they proclaim that they are Christians, but their behavior says that they are not. And there are a lot of those out there, but these are the worst kind because they spend their days plotting evil against their neighbor. And my desire, my prayer for them is that they would repent. Secondly, I wish that they would go home and live in peace and enjoy their life. Even if they never repent, go home, enjoy the good things that God even gives to the ungodly. You know, good food, you know, a quiet summer afternoon or evening, the laughter of your grandchildren. Enjoy those things. Why spend your days plotting evil against me? I have no desire, you know, to have them prosecuted and thrown in jail, but should they pay for their crimes according to the law? Will I rejoice? No, I take no joy in it. I might rejoice that I'm finally free of the evil that they plot against me. I'd rejoice in that. Yes, because it becomes wearisome. It's grievous. Go home, live in peace, repent, be saved, and enjoy the resurrection from the dead. That's my prayer. That's what I wish for everybody. The most evil and vile men on earth, I hope that they repent. You know, they had a guy called Jeffrey Dahmer who supposedly did heinous, terrible crimes, and he went to prison, and supposedly he repented. I hope so, regardless of what he did. And that's how far I believe that the mercy of our Heavenly Father extends, even to the vilest sinners, people who have done the most reprehensible things. I have no desire for anyone to burn in hell forever. If one can be saved from that forever, that is a huge... I just can't tell you how big that is. That's so tremendous. And that's my desire for those that would destroy me and murder my family and steal everything that I have. That's what I wish for them. So I sit here, but I feel all those other things. Don't get me wrong. But feelings are not sin. Feelings are natural. We should feel those things, but we should not entertain those feelings. We should relegate them where they belong. Yes, I feel like, you know, I would want to grab them about the neck and throttle them until there's no breath left in them. Those are feelings, but I'm not driven by feelings. They are. That's why they've devoted their lives to fulfilling the lusts of their flesh, rather than rebuking those feelings. And no, I'm going to pray for them instead. I take no joy in their downfall. When this man goes to jail for his crimes against me, as it seems that he surely will, I'm not going to take any joy in that. It's never what I wished. I will be glad that he's being punished and that that will withhold him from doing more evil to me. Yes, I'll be glad about that, but I take no joy in it. I would rather that he repented, went home, and like I said, enjoyed the good things that life has to offer, even to the most evil and vile men. Neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. We're in chapter 31, verse 32. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgressions as Adam, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude? Or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that my adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. Chapter 32 and verse 1. So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. And you know, through the trials and tribulations of our life, and you know what I'm talking about, you mature men out there, you find your standing in the righteousness of the Messiah. And Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. So we know the righteousness that he proclaims, that the foundation of that righteousness is in his Redeemer. We have that same faith, and we're tried, and we find ourselves true. That's a gift from the Almighty. That's a gift from God. It is. When we can see that we stand in his righteousness, when we see that we refuse to break his law, and all of these things that Job says, put in his position, I can say yes and amen. And if I'm not there yet in this or that, then I stand in the imputed righteousness of the Messiah, and I take it to heart that I might order my steps correctly in the future. That's what it means to me, to have his, the Redeemer's, righteousness imputed to me. Where I fail and I see my failure, my steps will be ordered in the future to comply, to please my Heavenly Father, to live by his commandments, because that's the true desire of my heart, is to live a life that is pleasing to him, to walk in his statutes and his commandments, to walk in his kingdom, so that he is my king, and I am under the law of his kingdom. That's what it means to endure to the end. The Messiah said, to crucify the deeds of the flesh, to carry your cross. That's what it means to carry the cross and crucify the deeds of the flesh, is to repent, change your mind, and crucify every deed that is not in compliance with the laws of his kingdom. And to do it gladly, because you love the king and you want to live your life to please him. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Well, perhaps that was Elihu's standing, but I believe that Job justified himself not rather than God, but he justified himself in the Almighty, not against him. Also against the three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Yeah, they were digging. What is the sin? What is the secret sin? Trying to get Job to admit to some secret sin, because it wasn't evident in his life. But certainly there must be some iniquity there. Or otherwise, why would he be in such travail? Why would he be so afflicted? This is the reasoning of men. Well, you know, when you see that men are afflicted, sometimes it is so obvious that the affliction is brought upon themselves. Most of the time, it is so obvious that the affliction is brought upon themselves. You know, even in righteous men, I see it. You know, I see godly men that I love, godly men and women that I love, but they don't follow the, say, the dietary commandment and law. And so they suffer these horrible things, and they have to turn to, you know, pharmakia and allopathic doctors to fix it. The problem that they brought upon themselves by neglecting. Are they not saved? Of course, they're, you know, they don't lose their salvation because of that. because simply they walk in ignorance. And our Heavenly Father is so merciful and kind that he judges the intent of their heart. They didn't intend to be disobedient. They just didn't believe that it was disobedience. But they're paying the price for it. So do I go to them? What good would it do to convict them? Don't I believe they've already seen it? That they already understand it? Yes, I do. And I am so glad that our Heavenly Father does judge the heart of men and the intents of their heart. And many are made righteous by that, even though they walk in a measure of disobedience. They walk in a liberty, yes, a liberty. And sometimes that liberty has a price when we neglect God's law to walk in it. That's the lesson that I'm learning and that I have learned by those examples of good and godly people that suffer because they ignore certain parts of the law because in their integrity, they believe that that was done away with or nailed to the cross or whatever. And I hope that I judge by the spirit of the law and not by the letter of the law, because by the letter of the law, no one is saved. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. That's right. Many, many out there that condemn by the letter of the law. I don't want to be numbered among them. So we have Elihu, who is his wrath is kindled against Job because he perceives that he's righteous in his own eyes. And his wrath is kindled against these three men because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. First Job, you're righteous in your own eyes, you know. And you guys, you condemn Job, though you find no evil. Now Elihu waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. Then Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men. Then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore, I said, hearken to me, and I will also show you my opinion. Now, I'm not sure what the word opinion here is. It's something, you know, that I really don't want to hang a lot on opinion. Now, here I have the word in the Hebrew. It says knowledge or opinion, you know, our own reasoning. I really don't want opinions. If I have an opinion, I want it to be, you know, my opinion is that the Word of God is right and that I want my opinion or the knowledge that I hold, what I believe, to be founded upon His Word. And I want it to be tried upon His Word, and I want it to not be excluded by His Word. Many people hold things that are excluded by the Word of God, and they're so bullheaded that they can't even see it. And sometimes conjecture is enough. That's all they need is conjecture to hold an opinion. Well, conjecture is not good enough for me. That's my opinion. But yeah, everyone has an opinion, and there are sayings about that out there in the world, which I need not repeat here. So anyway, Elihu, therefore I said, hearken to me, and I will show you my opinion. Now the young man speaks. At least he had enough wisdom to wait for all of the elders to have their word first. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words. At least he has enough wisdom in his youth to state these facts. Lest you should say, we have found out wisdom, God thrusteth him down, not man. Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off their speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also. My part I will also show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent, and is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles. And so doing, my Maker will soon take me away. As he's expressing there a fear of the Almighty, this young man, Elihu. We're going to continue here in chapter 31, perhaps in our next session. I think I'm going to take a few minutes and say, before we continue, we got a news break coming up and a musical interlude, so take advantage of that before you come back. Like I said, I'd like you to visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and do please subscribe there to the blog. That at least you can support me that much. The more people that subscribe, the higher ranking my blog gets in searches, and that helps. They have no other way of supporting. Also, if you want to support this or you'd like a copy of my Greatest Prophecy DVD, we have just remastered it and updated it and added about 3 hours in the addendum in audio there. Plus, we put in the slideshow, what year is it, which answers a lot of questions about the chronology and what year it really is, and about the end of, well, the sixth millennia, which is coming up in about 60 years. But you can see it there. It's plainly given. The Heavenly Father plainly gave us a chronology in His Word. We ask a $5 donation for that. So do check it out and get a copy of that for just $5. If you want to add more to that, you can support the work here and support First Amendment Radio. We would much appreciate that. So you can find the address there by going to the page or listening during the breaks. We give out information on how to do that, whether you want to give or not. If you can't afford it, you just write us a letter. We'll even send you the package for free. We'll be back.